You are Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
From the 12th floor and 50-pin place in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, the home of 1340 The Game and News Radio 1000 KTOK, welcome to another episode of the Locked On Sooners podcast, the Friday night, Saturday morning episode. I am your gracious and humble host, Derek G, saying thank you so much for making us a part of your day and part of your weekend. And coming up on the show, it's going to get strange. It's going to get really weird. Not because I'm going to go off on some unusual tangent about Bob Stoops and Lincoln Riley and comparing them to Nick Saban, although I'll get kind of close. But I'm actually going to agree with Colin Cowherd. Colin Cowherd had some interesting comments about Texas and their lack of commitment to football. I will play you those comments. It was part of a conversation that he had with Joel Klatt, and I will use those comments to tell you how Oklahoma is going to get closer to Alabama here in the next few years, if not this season. I can explain it all. I'm going to go out on a bit of a limb, but Colin Cowherd has set the table, so I'm going to pick up where he left off in segment number one. In segment number two, we will hear from Iowa State defensive coordinator John Heacock as he talks about one of the Cyclones player to watch, true freshman linebacker Mike Ross. He will also talk about what Iowa State will see with Oklahoma this week, and we'll get into what Iowa State believes they can do to OU to slow the offense down because they're confident. Iowa State's a confident bunch that they've got the defense that's good enough to go up against any offense in this conference, and I don't agree with that. There's a big reason I don't agree with that, and we'll tell you all about that in segment number two. And then finally in segment number three, it is such a big weekend for the Big 12. It is Redemption Weekend, where TCU, Texas, Oklahoma State, and Tech can all make statements and get some credibility back for this conference. How many teams are going to do that? I'll give you the number in segment number three. My name's Eric G. I am the co-host of Saturday Game Day with Randy Renner, which airs on 1340 The Game and News Radio 1000 KTOK, both fine iHeart stations here in Oklahoma City. It's at 5 a.m. on KTOK every Saturday morning and at 9 a.m. on 1340 The Game. And it's at different times all around the state via the Oklahoma News Network. And usually it airs before 11 o'clock because that's when the first kickoff is. And for OU, it seems like that's when every kickoff is. And this Saturday is no exception to that rule. I've covered Oklahoma for 4 1/3 years. I've loved every minute of it. I'm a graduate of OU and I'm a proud Roughneck alum. So I bleed crimson and cream just as much as you do, and as much as I am a guy who covers Oklahoma and talks about them and does a podcast and talks about them on the radio, I'm a fan first. So hopefully that comes through on this podcast, and thank you for listening and help building what Locked On Sooners is becoming, because we're starting to get that community feel that we have going with Locked On Thunder. So let's jump into it today, and whoo, you never know where you're going to find people who agree with you in this world. It just doesn't, and for me, it doesn't happen that often. I have long thought that there is a major problem with the University of Texas, and it's not just because they wear orange and white, and they're called the Longhorns, and they're just not as good as OU. I have often felt that Texas has way too many people who want to say that they run that program. Be it donors, be it alumni, be it people inside the athletic department or the university itself, everybody wants to have control. Thus, they've neutered every single coach that has come into the University of Texas, for the exception of Mack Brown. At some point or another, you get a tremendous amount of pressure put on you, and then you never seem to live up to those expectations. Texas is a good brand, but it's not really a great football school. And for further confirmation on that, we go to the tape. Here's Colin Cowherd talking with Joel Klatt about not only Texas, but Michigan, and how they're really not the programs that they make themselves out to be.
If you go to Wikipedia and you go look at Texas Longhorn national titles, there's like a 50-year gap.
Right.
There's never a 50-year gap at Ohio State, Oklahoma, Alabama. They're not 50-year gaps. Texas-Michigan. I remember when Rich Rod took the job at Michigan, and Mike Tirico told me, he said, I don't think he's going to fit. He goes, the socialization, he goes, Ann Arbor's different.
It is a little different.
I think Michigan and Texas, we put them up there with Ohio State and Alabama. I don't see Texas and Michigan as football schools. I see them as great American.
Well, relax a little bit on
When's
that.
When's the last time Michigan beat Ohio State? Once in 15 years?
Yeah, listen, they are not in a good spot right now, and I wouldn't put them in the category of what Ohio State and what Alabama, and namely out of that conference, Oklahoma, you know, out of the Big 12, has been so much more successful than Texas. Texas, let's put it this way. Texas is around 500 in their last 100 football games.
Thank you.
But they're still number two on the Forbes most valuable list. I mean, so there's something to that, right?
What does that mean?
Their brand is strong enough. They've got a strong brand. It's an incredibly strong brand.
So does a pro wrestler. The brand, I want W's. I don't care about brands.
I understand that. But you can't say that they're not football schools, all right? Texas is just a few years removed from winning 10 games in 9 straight seasons from 01 to 09.
How about this? When I say Austin, Texas, you know what I think of? Party City, 6th Street, music. I don't think of Longhorn football.
I mean, that's your fault. I think of football.
You're a football announcer.
I understand that, but
I'm a bon vivant.
But hold on,
I'm a global citizen.
You cannot legitimately sit here and say Texas and Michigan aren't football schools.
I'm telling you. When I wake up in the when you say Ohio State, I think football. When you say Alabama, I think football. When you say Michigan, I think what a great school.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, that is a lie.
I've had two agents that went to Michigan and an attorney, and this is a suitcase full of private government information. Guys that go to Michigan carry suitcases like this. Medical school, law school.
I mean, just because they're a good school.
Governors.
Does that mean that USC is not a football school because they haven't had the success that they've had in the past recently?
No, but I think of USC, first thing I think of is football.
You don't think of football the first thing time you hear Michigan. They're the all-time winningest program in the history of our sport.
I just think great university.
Oh, come on.
Oh, Texas. When I say Austin, Texas, I think of food, music.
Well, yeah, when you bring up the city, maybe something a little bit different than that. But come on. You say Texas, University of Texas. You don't think football?
No. You said
that's what I'm saying.
Listen, Oklahoma, nothing against Norman. But, I mean, the town closes down at 10 in the morning. Okay? So, I mean, seriously, when I think of Oklahoma, I'm like, if you don't win in football, it's a miserable place to be. If I lived in Austin, Texas, and my team stunk, you kidding me? I'd still take my girl, and I'd go to 6th Street, and I'd have a great dinner, and Ann Arbor's more than football.
What are you trying to say? They're never going to get back?
I think we overvalue Texas, and everybody's like, Tom Herman stinks, and Harbaugh stinks. Those schools aren't as committed to football.
What?
That's what I think.
Texas is not. Michigan's not committed to football with the contracts that they're giving out. Did you see what they did to the Big House?
Michigan,
this is craziness. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
What is happening? No. Michigan's one of those guys. You ever met a guy like this? He's like, I'm a hard worker.
The late night Larry types. Like, I watch film till all hours of the night. You just sit in the locker room all night.
And you ask them how much they work, and they're like, hey, I put 47 hours in. And you're like, yeah, Nick Saban put 70 in. Michigan thinks they're committed. Ohio State's committed. Texas thinks they're committed to football. Alabama, Oklahoma are committed.
Sans the idiotic comment about Norman shutting down at 10 o'clock in the morning, which I can tell you as a former college student at Norman, definitely does not shut down at 10 o'clock in the morning. And it can go till all hours of the night. You just have to know where to go and what parties to crash. I agree 100% with Colin Cowherd there. And when I think about what is Texas really committed to? Oklahoma is committed to football. It's not only in the university, it's the fans, it's the alumni. Everybody wants Oklahoma to be good. They will go out of their way to make sure Oklahoma's good, and they will get out of the way to make sure Oklahoma's good. If Lincoln Riley and Bob Stoops, doesn't matter who the head coach is, if those guys are succeeding, OU fans don't want interference. They don't want anybody trying to get in their way and screw things up, where Texas just doesn't mind. Here's what Texas is committed to compared to Oklahoma. Oklahoma's committed to football. Oklahoma has facilities out of necessity, because you need nice facilities to get great players in, and you need nice facilities to develop them. Texas has nice facilities because they like to show off. Texas has the Longhorn Network to further cement that they are one of the biggest schools in America and have one of the largest alumni base in America. And that brand is always out there, and that Longhorn looks good on a helmet or a polo or whatever, but it's not really about football. And I was fool enough to think that when Texas got the Longhorn Network, they were just going to run away with the Big 12 and OU would have a hard time catching up. But nah, Texas went Texas. And Texas is going to get five-star recruits every year. Texas is always going to have a top 10, top 5 recruiting class, but they're not going to develop them. And I've always said that the difference between Texas kids and Oklahoma kids is that Oklahoma always recruited tough kids. Oklahoma always found a way to get those 4-, 5-star, 3-star athletes that had a chip on their shoulder. Even if they were highly recruited, they got guys that wanted to be better, wanted to go to the next level, wanted to win, wanted to be hungry, and they had a deep hate for Texas. Texas now has a deep hate for Oklahoma, and I think you've seen it in the last few games that they've played each other. Well, Texas will get up for Oklahoma, they will be physical, and they will be that way for about 60 minutes, but then for the rest of the season, they just kind of flow in and out and let everyone just kind of beat up on them. They expect people to wilt to them. OU doesn't. OU loses to Texas, they find a way to rebound. OU loses to Iowa State, they find a way to rebound. Only if Texas is OU do they ever get up for a big game. And those are the last big games I remember Texas winning, is the times that they beat Oklahoma. And as long as Texas is run the way it is, and you don't have a strong athletic director and a strong president and a strong head coach, much the way OU did with Bob Stoops and Joe Castiglione and David Boren, and the jury's still yet to be determined on this current triumvirate at OU, as long as Texas lacks that, they're always going to be behind. They're always going to fail to succeed expectations. And there's no reason that Texas shouldn't be the best school, not only in the Big 12, but really in the country. They should be doing what Alabama's doing. And I believe, truly, honestly believe, that OU is about to be Alabama. It's close. Now, obviously, to be Alabama, it's going to take a while for OU to catch up and win championships. But if you look at the type of kids Lincoln Riley and that coaching staff is bringing in on defense and how tough and how physical they play. It's the one thing we've always said about OU. You've got the offense, but you need the defense to match if you're going to win championships. Well, OU is building that defense to rival SEC schools. It's two games. The jury is still out on whether or not this defense is dominant or not, and I don't want to go out on that limb saying, oh, it's a total dominant defense. But you can see the potential there, and it's certainly, if I believe the things that I was told at media session this week by the defense, there's accountability, there's desire, there's guys watching film, and it can only get better, and that's something that's been lacking at OU. But Lincoln Riley's got something going on. It's OU is closer to being where they want to be than they have in a very long time. It's just a matter of everything playing out the way that Sooner fans want to. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I am Eric G. Coming up next, we will hear from Iowa State's defensive coordinator, a man by the name of John Heacock, and he will tell us about one Iowa State player to watch and what he thinks of OU offensively. It's all right here on Locked On Sooners.
You are Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast,
OU Iowa State kicking off at 11 o'clock Central Time this week. And next week, Army comes into town and OU finally has a night game. And we'll be all over that here on Locked On Sooners. And we're very excited to finally have another night game out in Norman. And Locked On Thunder is out. The weekend Locked On Thunder podcast is here. And while I may agree with Colin Cowherd on Texas and their level of commitment or lack of level of commitment to OU, I don't agree with what he had to say about Russell Westbrook. So listen to Locked On Thunder to find out there. I hadn't planned to do a double dose of Colin Cowherd. It just sort of worked out that way. And remember, all the Locked On podcasts, including the one you're listening to now, are on Spotify. They're on Google. They're on Alexa. You can subscribe on Apple iTunes. And there's the Locked On Sports website. Iowa State has a deep belief that their defense is built to stop anyone in the Big 12. And last year they held OU to 14 points, and that was with Baker Mayfield. They're not going to hold OU to 14 points this week, even though you've got a defensive line that they feel is deep where they can rotate players and they can match the physicality of OU's offensive line. You've got a great freshman linebacker and a guy by the name of Mike Rose who will be the player to watch other than who's playing quarterback. And at this time, I will just say real quick, at this time, it's got to be Nolan, right? Nolan's going to be the one that's going to be playing. Zeb Nolan, right? Zeb, whatever the hell his name is. Kyle Kemp, I think he's going to be out. But I digress. Let's get back on Iowa State's defense. They really feel like they can out-physical OU, and then they can play OU the way that they did last year and be able to keep them in check. I don't see that being the case. I think OU will be able to spread Iowa State out, and once OU does that, then you're going to be able to hand the ball off and run. It's just that same formula. If OU wins the battle in the trenches, they win this game. And defensively, if I'm Iowa State, I'm worried going into this game because there were a lot of sacks given up in the last game against Iowa. OU's defense has been playing great. And you got guys like Curtis Bolton and Jackson and Kenneth Mann on the outside. I think OU puts a lot of pressure on whoever plays quarterback. Ultimately, they win this game. Do they cover the 17, 18 and a half points? Yeah, what the hell? I'll go ahead and say yes. But why listen to me? Let's hear John Heacock. He's the defensive coordinator at Iowa State. Here's what he has to say about his linebacker, Mike Ross, true freshman linebacker, and what he thinks about OU's offense.
Well, he is, and again, some of the natural stuff that we felt like we saw, and is a credit to him and his high school coaches, and then I think, you know, Coach Veit's done a good job with them, and the older kids in that room have helped him a ton. So there's great competition in that room, and that's pretty fun to watch.
Last thing for you, we talk about pressuring a quarterback always, but it's tough, and you didn't get that opportunity to face Christian, who does some of the similar things mm-hmm. to what Murray does. How much different is this week than last week?
I guess it is different. You're talking about a team that huddled, that's very, so-called orthodox in what they do, to a team that's a spread, that's calling plays and schematically completely different, spreading the field from sideline to sideline, from end zone to end zone. And so you see just a different personality is what you see in this team, and they're not in a huddle, and they're going as fast as they can, and it's what our conference does, and, our own team. So it is completely different, personnel-wise, they use different bodies to do different things. And so both teams, last week and this week, very talented football teams on offense, and we're going to have to play really well.
Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Mike Tyson said it best. And for OU, it's very important to get off to a quick start against Iowa State because you don't want them to hang around and let that confidence build as the game goes on. We said the same thing about Florida Atlantic, but it's more important in this game because this is a team that's already beat you. However, they do have it in the back of their mind that you have played two more games. For the most part, you as OU have looked pretty sharp in those two games. They've only played one, didn't look that sharp. Their starting quarterback is hurt, and while they may have faith in the backup, he's still the backup for a reason. And you can brag and you can talk about how great your defense is and that it's built to shut down Big 12 offenses, but until you actually do it, there is going to be a lack of belief there. I think Iowa State is going to be physical in this game, but ultimately I see OU winning. I see OU winning big. And because they have that chip on their shoulder, despite what may have been said by Ben Powers and others this week, revenge is definitely motivation. And if Mike Stoops is right that it's all about doing better than what you did last year, then that should serve as motivation well. And I would think that especially on the offensive side of the ball for OU, they'd be extremely motivated to shut everybody in Ames up. Coming up next here on the Locked On Sooners podcast, we talk about redemption week for the Big 12. And obviously TCU has the most to gain, but who is number two behind that? Who really needs to show out this week against their opponent? We'll tell you next on Locked On Sooners.
This is Locked On Sooners, your team every day.
Locked On Thunder is out now as well, and you can hear that podcast on Apple iTunes, Spotify, Alexa, Google, and other places as well. Maybe I just named them all. Oh, yeah, LockedOnSports.com, and we're talking about Russ and the long-lasting effects of the continued surgeries that Russ is having, and we're also going to get into some of the top stories that people really aren't talking about when it comes to training camp, which is right around the corner. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I'm Eric G. And yes, this is a huge week for the Big 12. It's redemption week for the Big 12. TCU versus Ohio State, that is the game of the week. Game day down in Dallas in Jerry World. And I honestly, what's so weird about this game is that Ohio State, you have the E. Gordon Gee, who made the comment when he was president of Ohio State about playing Little Sisters of the Poor when Iowa State was in the Mountain West. And then there was Ohio State keeping TCU in the Big 12 out of the college football playoff. TCU's going to come into this game so fired up and probably about 100 kinds of pissed off. And really, more than anything, playing with that attitude of a school that's outside the Power Five, because they've got a ton to prove. They would love nothing more than to stick it to Ohio State for what was said and then the misery that they caused a couple of years ago. I would not want to be playing TCU if I was Ohio State. I like TCU in this game. I know they're a 13-point underdog, and Ohio State has looked just unbeatable in the first couple of games that they played this year. But Ohio State also knows they can suffer a loss. And if you lose to TCU on a neutral site game and TCU's really good in the Big 12 and you've got that name Ohio State, it's really not that big a deal to you. TCU definitely has much more to gain than Ohio State in this one, and that's what makes TCU so dangerous. Now, as far as who has the most to prove in the Big 12, it would be easy to say Texas because they play USC, Sam Ellinger, and Texas had a chance to win that game last year, failed at it, and for some reason I just expect Sam Ellinger to throw an interception late and USC go into Austin and win. It would be easy to say even Texas Tech, who hosts Houston and is an underdog in their game against Houston. Houston mauled Arizona this past week, and Tech got absolutely crushed by Ole Miss. It's a big game for Texas Tech, but no, the team, in my opinion, that's got the most to prove this week, and I'll get to OSU and Boise State here in a second, it's Kansas. Yeah, Kansas. Yes, they play Rutgers. They're a favorite against Rutgers. And by 2 o'clock Central Time on Saturday, Kansas could actually be 2-1. They could be 500 for the first time in what feels like 50 years. Huge game for them. Now, is it the biggest game in the Big 12? No, absolutely not. But if you're just thinking about a program that has tried so long to turn things around, maybe it starts this Saturday. A win over Rutgers, you're 2-1. You build a little belief. OSU-Boise State, interesting game to me just because Boise State relishes these opportunities. However, the formula that Boise State used to use was they'd get these teams the very beginning of the year, so they'd work on them all spring, all summer, and then they would be better prepared while these Power Five schools were not only preparing for Boise State, but other teams on their schedule. Well, now you've got OSU the third week in the year. You're on the road. And yes, we as OU fans need to root for OSU this week. One, even though we're going to have to hear how they beat Boise State and OU didn't, it's still much better for the conference if OSU wins. Two, the last thing you want, and what I think is really funny, is to hear Boise State fans campaign about how their team deserves to be in the college football playoffs, which is exactly what they will do, because if they beat OSU, they're going to run the table. And there's a very good shot there may only be one team in the Power Five who's undefeated, and then you've got a host of one-loss and two-loss schools that ultimately have better resumes than Boise State and will keep them out. But we're going to have to hear from Boise State fans. So just do me a favor, Oklahoma State. Shut Boise State fan up. Any biases I may have against OSU, which honestly aren't that much, I can definitely set aside for the betterment of the Big 12 and really the betterment of college football overall. College football is better without a Boise State, but that really is still me just being bitter over the Statue of Liberty play. I'm Eric G. That wraps up this episode of Locked On Sooners. Thank you for listening today. Happy game day if you're listening on Saturday. And if you're listening to this while going to high school football, or maybe you're at a high school football game, then turn over to Friday Night Finals on KTOK when you're done in 1340 The Game, or around the state of Oklahoma. There, I just wanted to get that plug in. Sooners, Iowa State tomorrow, which means we will be back on Sunday to talk more OU football, give our assessment, our wrap-up, and take that time to just breathe and cool down. We don't do instant reaction. We do the clear thought reaction. So after you get a while to let it breathe, then we can give our thoughts. So until then, I want God to bless you and your family, and pray for that. And two, everybody love everybody. And of course, three, peace, love, and Boomer Sooner.
You are Locked On Sooners, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell Alexa or Google to play podcast Locked On. Don't worry, I won't finish. You get the idea.